this day a good start to your Lord's Day. Thank you for making time to be here this morning, and we're excited to have Chris and Rachel Poborski with us. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll kind of give you an outline of how we're going to proceed. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much that you have given us opportunity each Lord's Day to come into your house with our brothers and sisters in Christ and worship you, and we can do this together. God, we thank you that we have freedom as of today in this nation to come and to celebrate a resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for men and women who have done so much to defend those freedoms, and so we even think about that this weekend as we celebrate our nation's liberty. God, we thank you that you have called us to pursue you together, that you have not called us to Lone Ranger Christianity. God, we thank you that you have given us a spirit of togetherness at Harvest. Lord, we pray that you would give us guidance that we need, that you would give us confidence in your leading. We thank you for the opportunity today to worship you and to, in this hour, get to know Chris and Rachel a little bit better. We pray that you would give us a real sense of your leading for our congregation regarding a pastor for family care. And so we thank you for this opportunity, and we pray that you would be pleased, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, we're right on time for Harvest Bible Church Sunday School. 9:35 is usually when everybody gets here, so we're ready to roll now. It's good to see you. Thank you for being here today. As I think everybody was aware before you came, Chris and Rachel Poborski are with us today. Chris is a candidate for Pastor for Family Care, Operations and Mobilization. That's a long title, so we're just kind of calling it Pastor for Family Care. You can see a profile of Chris and Rachel, information from the questionnaire that he filled out that's available at the Welcome Center if you want that. Included in that is the job description for what we're kind of pursuing. We're looking for a man to fill a pastoral role to oversee, you remember the New Testament word, to oversee especially youth. And so as of this point, we have like 64 people that attend Harvest that are high school and below. And so that's a good chunk of HBC. And so we want some more specific care, pastoral care for them. So this morning is really just intended to be kind of introductory. Chris and Rachel were part of Harvest several years ago. Have you guys been gone 3 years? I can't remember. About 3 years? Okay. So, okay, I'm going to do an unofficial survey. You guys know Chris and Rachel. Put your hand up in the air. Okay, this is the first time you've ever seen Chris and Rachel. Put your hand in the air. Okay. So that's a good, I won't even put percentages out there because I'll mess that up. 90, 10, maybe. I just put percentages out there after I said I wasn't going to. So this is intended to be an introductory, informal time for you to get to know them a little bit better and to hear a little bit more of their heart for ministry and what God's doing, has been doing in their time since they were here at Harvest. So be reminded that we're not looking for someone to meet all the needs of our congregation. Only Jesus could do that, and none of the pastors at Harvest or candidates for pastors at Harvest are Jesus. So we're asking God to provide an additional under-shepherd to faithfully guide the sheep, being used by God's grace in spite of our own deficiencies. Let me look at my notes here and make sure I got everything else. Yeah, well, I wanted to remind us as well that we're not asking for an additional pastor to come into Harvest to somehow facilitate a change in philosophy or bring about a massive shift in any way. We're asking someone to come along and to link arms with us and join us in what God is already at work in doing and in the way that we are conducting ministry with our goals, etc. Okay, so Chris and Rachel, thanks for being here. And I have some questions. We're going to pop around different categories this morning. It'll be just like Jeopardy. Do you guys watch Jeopardy? Oh, great. Nerds. Okay, just kidding. I told you it was going to be informal. Okay, is your preference to eat in or dine out? I was going to start with a really hard question. If you had the money, if no money was no object.
Then probably dine out.
Okay, where would you go?
Texas Roadhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Chili's. We like Chili's. Red Robin.
Okay, good. Vacation time, would you rather go to the beach or to the mountains?
Depends who you ask.
Okay, what would you say?
I'm a beach guy.
Mountain,
okay. Fruits or vegetables?
Yes.
Wow, healthy people. When you cook something outside, what would be the verb you use? You're grilling it, you're cooking out, you're barbecuing, or something else?
Grilling it.
Okay. Chris, you don't care. Okay.
I just like to eat.
You just like to eat. Amen. If you are going to watch a story, listen to a story, book or movie. So, like, you want to have the book version of it or the movie version of it if you're going to hear about a story?
Depends how long the book is.
Okay.
Yeah. I do like reading. But
okay.
Yeah.
Good. What have you read? Have you any good books you've read recently, either of you?
I read Teach Them to Work recently.
That Teach Them to Work?
Kids.
Is that a kid's book for kids?
Yeah.
Great. Awesome.
That was good.
Okay.
I'm in seminary right now, so a lot of my reading is done just from our textbook. So I'm reading the London Baptist Confession. About 400 pages, 500 pages long. So I haven't had much leisure time to read.
But yeah, that's good reading, though. Great.
Yeah.
So tell us, so you brought up seminary. What class are you taking a class right now?
Mm-hmm.
What class is it?
It's a systematic theology class, and it's just an introduction to the London Baptist Confession. So it goes through the London Baptist Confession and really just hits on the doctrines of God's Word and really expounds on them pretty thoroughly.
Okay, and where are you taking class? Like, through what seminary are you taking classes?
Oh, yeah, Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary. It's out in Kentucky, I think Owensboro, Kentucky. So obviously I'm doing it mostly online. I will have to travel there for a weekend for what they call a modular. So that'll be somewhere in the future. But most of it's done online at your own pace. And for the language courses, you go to a live Zoom in class.
Great. And you did undergrad at Part at Millersville, and you finished at Lancaster Bible College, is that correct?
Correct, getting a BA in Biblical Studies.
Okay, great. So just a little bit more on you guys. What helps you unwind? You guys have any specific hobbies? I mean, I know you have three children, but so that takes a lot of your time and energy. Mm-hmm. But any other specific hobbies that you guys – I don't put kids under the category of hobbies.
Right. We enjoy, going for walks to like a local park with our boys and then allowing them to just, play on the playground. We do that a lot. We spend time at my parents' house. They have a big property with a pool, so we being outside. And then in the evenings, when we get, wiffle ball, we play a lot of wiffle ball with the boys. Yeah.
Nice.
We've kind of made that a family tradition. And then just in the evenings, in terms of us, we don't get downtime until 8 or 9 o'clock. So a lot of times that's just kind of vegging out and until we fall asleep.
Sure. So. How about Rachel, you take this question. Tell us your kids' names, ages, any special personality, awesomeness, or anything you want to tell us about your kids.
Sure. Clark is the oldest, and he's 5 and a half. And he is very logical and needs a lot of instruction, and he's very literal, but he's very social as well, so he'll probably talk right back to you, answer your questions. Preston is 3 and a half, and he probably won't even look at you.
Shy?
Very, very shy. Okay. But he's more imaginative, and he's a sweet little boy. And then Vincent is about 15 months, and he has been just a happy, happy baby and easy as can be and just been a joy. So
great. Rachel, tell us your family. You have how many siblings?
There were 12 kids in my family.
Okay.
Yeah. Two of my sisters are here today.
Oh, yay.
Crystal Stauffer is my sister.
Great.
Renee.
And Chris, your sibling situation, you came from a family of
14?
Three. Okay.
Yeah, just three. I have an older sister and a younger brother.
Okay, great. How do you guys, so a little bit more intentional now, how do you guys specifically see yourselves and attempt to intentionally bring up your kids? Like, when you're trying to train your kids, like the book you mentioned, that was neat, Rachel. What else are you guys doing to, like, help bring your kids along?
I think just trying to follow, you know, an Ephesians 6 call to bring them up in discipleship, admonition of the Lord. So, you know, family devotions is very important for us, making sure that our boys are at least learning, you know, biblical doctrine, and trying to foster that, and not as a means of, you know, we do this just to do this, but really trying to enroot in them, you know, why this is important. So that's very important for us, just, you know, the formal, the corrective training and discipline.
I mean, you know, I'm the one that's home with them all day, and so just reminding myself that I'm not just trying to get them to behave for my convenience and because, you know, I want things to run smoothly, but I want them to know and understand what is right and wrong because it gives God glory. So that's something I remind myself of a lot when I'm interacting with them.
Fantastic. Probably should have started with marriage. How long have you guys, I was there when you got married. It was in this room. It was August, right? I can't remember the date.
August 15th.
15 of what year?
2015.
Okay. So you're coming up on 7 years.
Yes.
Great. You've been through highs and through lows. Anything specific? Not like personal business or whatever, but like how are you guys, what's been some good helps for you, marriage-wise?
Yeah, I mean, this is a cliche, right? But communication is key. For guys, we do not like to hash out our feelings and our emotions. So we like to just kind of forgive and forget and move on. Rachel is not like that, which is actually helpful. She, you know, forces those conversations, those tough conversations at times. And I think that's really helped our marriage, is just being willing to communicate, be transparent with one another, and, you know, have those tough conversations so that we're not ending the day on a sour note.
Great. Anything to add, Rachel? Okay, great. So we want to talk a little bit more now specifically about Harvest Bible Church, our doctrinal positions. We have a statement of faith, and we have a constitution at Harvest Bible Church. If you're a member, you're familiar with those documents. We also have a church covenant, so when people come into membership at HBC, we read that church covenant, and we ask those individuals if they're willing to abide by that covenant. The Constitution includes a statement of faith, which is a doctrinal statement. Chris has mentioned that he's taking a class on a specific doctrinal statement of faith. So we have that in our Constitution, and then we have the rest of the Constitution that outlines a lot of how we interact and how we do conduct business as a ministry here at HBC. So none of us can match up to every jot and tittle of the whole Constitution of everything. As members of this flock, though, we generally hold to that. We're able to say, yes, I can support the church covenant. I can abide by this covenant. Yes, I can live out life. I can join together with other people because of this statement of faith. This is what I'm holding to. This is what I'm believing in. So we generally hold to it. This is what all the pastors who have been at Harvest Bible Church so far have done. Each of our missionaries hold to the same thing. We ask them to make sure that they understand what they're how they're linking arms with, who they're linking arms with, what we believe, what we hold to. Chris has reviewed those documents already. He has looked over the statement of faith, the Constitution, all of that stuff, and he has been able to. He was a member at Harvest back in the day. So, Chris, would you be willing to minister in accordance with the statement of faith and the Constitution of Harvest Bible Church?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I think when we asked you that, I don't know, if it was in a meeting with the elders or with just me and you having a conversation, there was nothing specifically that stood out as a difference for you, right, between?
No, even the church we attend now would be very similar to Harvest's statement of faith, Constitution, and so forth.
Okay, great. So maybe we can just take a couple of doctrinal questions and ask you to kind of expound a little bit on that. It's like God's Word. How do we have a copy of God's Word today? I mean, we spent like 2 years on that in Sunday school class, and you don't have that much time before the morning worship service.
Right.
So
right.
Just generally, how do we have God's Word?
Yeah, so Scripture is God-breathed. It was breathed into human authors. I believe there are 40 different human authors, and they penned down through the power of the Holy Spirit what God wanted them to write. And throughout history then, we've had manuscripts, and they were put together in the early first centuries of the church age, if I can call it that. And then we received our canon of Scripture, which was collectively agreed on by early church fathers, and that's how we get our 66 books. But it is God's word. There are human authors, but it is also God's word that we have received, his revelation in that way.
Great. Regarding creation, we hold, creation, is it six literal days of creation? Is that what you hold to?
Yeah, I believe it is six literal days of creation. I think you see, I'm not at all a language scholar, but from my understanding, even those words in Hebrew for day are used elsewhere in Scripture, and it always denotes a 24-hour day, which I think is pretty good backing for that belief. I think it's important to be dogmatic on that issue, because if you get the beginning wrong, what else are you getting wrong?
Sure. Great. How about the main thing, the gospel? What is salvation? Why do we need salvation? What is the gospel?
Okay. So the gospel begins with God again, God creating us, and then us failing him, sinning against him, thus separating ourselves from him because he is a holy God, he is perfect. And so there's this need now for humans to be reconciled to God, and that is only done through his son, Jesus Christ, through his work on the cross where he offered himself up freely to be a perfect sacrifice, the perfect sacrificial lamb. And so he died, was buried, 3 days later was risen, which tells us that God accepted that sacrifice, and now through repentance and trust in Jesus Christ, we can in turn be reconciled to God. But it is through faith alone, through Christ alone, by grace alone, that we are saved.
Great. Can someone lose their salvation?
No. I believe that we are sealed. We are sealed by a spirit. Eternally secure in our salvation. The Bible tells us that we won't be plucked out of his hands.
There's a lot of hope there. So this morning in our worship service, we're going to be coming to the Lord's table. And we also practice baptism, believer's baptism, when someone has placed their faith in Jesus as a testimony of their a profession of their faith. Why is it important for the church to practice these two ordinances?
The simple answer to that is because Jesus demonstrated them to us. He was baptized, by John around probably the age of 30. And then during his last moments with his disciples, they broke bread, they drank from the cup, and he told them to do that in remembrance of him. So we do that really in obedience to Christ. It's not salvific in any way, but it is demonstrating our love, our servitude to him. Baptism is a way of publicly professing your faith, and the Lord's Supper is just a way of remembering, what Christ did on the cross for us.
Great. You explained salvation and how we are reconciled back to God through our faith in Jesus by God's grace. How does the gospel, how is that connected to our post-justification life? So we've been justified by God, we've been saved, we've been rescued. How does that same gospel message, that same good news, apply and affect our Christian life, our walk with the Lord?
Okay. There's a lot of ways you could answer that, I guess.
Sure.
First and foremost, I think that it impacts us in that we continue to teach it to ourselves, to preach it to ourselves. We'll look at that this morning with this church in Colossians. They were, essentially believers, and Paul expounds the gospel again for them to be read and to be reminded of. So we do that for ourselves, too. We want to continue to preach it to ourselves, remember it. And then I think we take it a step further then in understanding what the gospel has done for us, saved us from sin. We want to then bring that to others around us and obey Christ's command to go and preach it and to make disciples. So it kind of has a twofold effect in our lives. It's that the power is still there. The power helps us live according to it. And then we want to bring that message also to those around us, knowing the implications there.
Good. So let's shift now a little bit into ministry now. What are some of your ideas for ministering to young people? Philosophy, some important goals or ways that you could see yourself serving, particularly students, high school and below.
Yeah, so just to give a little bit of a background, I taught in a high school setting for the last 4 years, and for the last 2 years I was able to teach an apologetics class. So before that I was just teaching PE and health, and not that you don't establish relationships and everything, but in apologetics you really get a further understanding of teens' knowledge of scripture, of even, their so-called faith. So when it comes to youth ministry, my goal would be to come alongside parents, because remember, I'm not replacing, the parents in the home to bring their child up in the training and discipline of the Lord, but I want to come alongside parents and really help foster a biblical worldview, cement it in the life of the teen, to equip them then to take that biblical worldview into the world, because they're not always going to be sheltered in the home or perhaps sheltered at this church. They're going to go on to colleges or a workplace, so I want to really foster that, and that all is done through the teaching of God's word. When it comes to a pastor, an overseer, as you mentioned, is the language we see in the New Testament, that's, a shepherd, someone who feeds the flock, who guards the flock, and really the main way that that is done is through the teaching of God's word. It's through sound doctrine. If you read in Titus, that's what Paul continues to exhort Titus to do, is to teach sound doctrine. So the main goal when it comes to any type of ministry, but youth ministry as well, is to teach sound doctrine and help these kids understand that it is truth. That it's not just our truth, but it is the truth. So that would be my main goal, is just to cement that biblical worldview.
Okay. So a solid teaching ministry. Make sure that's happening all the way through, mm-hmm. For all of our kids. Mm-hmm. Teaching, making sure they're getting that education in the Word, that grounding in God's Word. Good. How about more like one-on-one discipleship stuff? How would you see that unfolding, or... Yeah, particular opportunities with that.
Yeah.
Guys or girls, if Rachel, you want to speak to that, that'd be fine too. Either, it doesn't matter. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you want to foster relationships as well as you do this, so that you want, the teens or whoever to be comfortable confiding in you to some degree. And then, just again, through God's word, you counsel, you give answer to different questions and different struggles. I personally don't remember a whole lot of my teen years, but observing teens for these last 4 to 5 years, there's a lot of struggles that go on. So it needs to be met, I think, with biblical understanding. So just with one-on-one time, that's what I would seek to do, is just properly, biblically counsel the young people here at this church. And, I mean, it can be one-on-one. With a guy. If it were with a female, I would absolutely have my wife there, or perhaps allow her to do that one-on-one. You want to foster relationships, but you want to meet their needs with proper biblical foundation there to answer their questions, because I believe the Bible is sufficient to do that.
Okay. What are your own... Well, let me just go here. Who are some people that have had a good impact on you? Like, when you were a young person coming up through, that have been, and why? Like, so, why were they making that impact on you?
Okay. So the first person I would mention is my youth pastor growing up. His name was Tom Vietti. And actually, what's kind of interesting in this is he has more of an impact now than he did then. You kind of take it for granted. But we have a great relationship now, and I've actually been able to just kind of retrospectively look back at his ministry throughout the years and how dedicated he was in just loving the teens and the youth that God placed before him. So he's a big one. When I was in college, you know, I went through a little bit of a tough phase, and one of the missionaries that Harvest supports, Pastor John Caputo, has his ministry there at Millersville, and he was a big impact in my life, being willing to counsel students one-on-one. I went to many of his counseling sessions. He held a weekly Bible study, which I was president of for a little bit, but he was really a solid rock for me. God used him just to keep me grounded when you're kind of out in the wolves there with all the you know, secularism and everything that comes and attacks you there on campus. So I would say that was really my first mentor, if I could say it that way, was Pastor John Caputo.
You grew up in a Christian home.
Yes.
You went to church pretty much all your life.
Yes.
Both of you. Great. Mm-hmm. So how about describing some of your how do you pursue God now? Mm-hmm. Like, through the spiritual disciplines, how are you, what's your practice, what have you found to be most beneficial for you, and yeah, how does that work for you guys?
So again, you have to bring it to God's word. You need to be spending time in there. That's how God speaks to us. You know, he doesn't write in the clouds. I guess he could, but I don't believe that that's how he's working. He speaks to us through his word, so you need to be constantly there, meditating on it, just studying it, not just reading it for the sake of reading it. For me, that's always worked, just starting my day. That might not be how it works for everyone, but I do believe it's to be a daily practice. You know, church even is just an add-on to that. So spending time in God's word, spending time then praying to him, that's how we communicate to him, right, is through prayer. Yeah, I mean, those are really the main things is time in God's word, meditating on it, digging deep into it, and then having a healthy prayer life is vital as well.
Well, he gets up earlier than I do, so he does that when the kids are still sleeping. But for me, he leaves for work about 7:30, and my kids know that I sit with my coffee and I read my Bible until 8 o'clock. And they interrupt me, but they know that I don't get out of that chair for the first half hour. So that's when I have my time. And then I play music all day long, and I love hearing my children sing it. But that's just something that I can do as I'm
good
working with my children. And so
great. This is rapid fire. So thanks for bearing with us here. Mm-hmm. Describe, you're at Cornerstone Bible Church in York right now. Is it York, Dover?
It's York.
York.
Or Dover.
Okay.
York County.
Okay. It's across the river.
Right.
So
the better half of Pennsylvania.
The what?
The better half of Pennsylvania.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding. We love Lancaster. It's just cheaper over in York, actually.
Ah, yeah. Gotcha. So, yeah, you've been there for a little while now. Describe your ministry. Like, how are you involved? You have a title there, I think, even though it's you're not paid staff there. Or okay, explain what you're doing at
right,
York.
Yeah,
over there.
So technically, I am on staff there. It's as a pastoral assistant, so it's a very you know, minimized role there. But what that entails is preaching periodically. Our pastor has been on sabbatical this past month, so I've pretty much taken up the responsibilities there of preaching. And then I am the overseer of our Sunday school hour, our adult Sunday school hour. So I teach that every week. And then there's a lot of just miscellaneous items, you know, wherever a pastor might need help, I would just kind of slide in there. But it's not, you know, as heavy of a load as an official assistant pastor would be. But it's just a lot of teaching and then preaching here periodically.
So you've been doing that along with teaching at the Christian school in New York?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Rachel, what's your role at Cornerstone? I know you're involved. What do you do?
Yeah, so I am the children's director, so I oversee. There's not much of a youth group, but there's a lot of young children. So for the past little bit, I do a lot of the administrative kind of things. I started out doing a lot of the teaching, but God has been faithful to bring teachers. So now it's more administrative scheduling and keeping supplies and just did VBS.
Cool.
2 weeks ago, or a week and a half ago. So yeah, mostly administrative kind of stuff, but oversee the children's stuff.
Okay, great. Chris, this might be the last one, and then we can maybe end a couple seconds early so people can talk with you. I don't even know if you remember the job description. Okay. Is there anything that stuck out to you, or even just in our conversations with me or with elders or whatever, as we've described this, the opportunity, anything that sticks out to you as, your favorite thing, or that really appeals to me, or that matches with what I think my gifts are for this particular position?
Mm-hmm. I do love teaching. At CSY, when I was able to start the apologetics course and teach Bible, that really, I enjoyed teaching that every day. So that's really what I love to do. I do enjoy preaching, but, preaching and teaching are a little bit different. So I feel as though, my main niche is to be able to teach and interact in that sense. So I love teaching young adults. Like I said, I taught the high school age for apologetics. I love just striving to equip students to understand God's word, to be able to read it themselves and understand it, to practice good hermeneutics and even exposit the word to some degree. So that's really what I enjoy doing, because we need young people to be godly in this world, and we need the next generations to come up and to continue the work of the kingdom. So that's really the main thing that stands out to me. And then also evangelism. Maybe for some of you feel like you've lacked in that area, at parts of your life. So that's just something that I, have been striving to do, is to be more minded in that way, to be evangelistic, to bring the good news to people outside of, our church walls. And I also want to equip young people to have confidence to do that. And I think if they understand God's word, if they understand how to read it themselves, how to study it, how to apply it, that creates then a confidence to take it, beyond these walls and share it with, whoever God would place in front of you.
Great. Thanks for being up here this morning. So HBC, just a reminder, I'll say this again at the beginning of the worship service during our announcement time. Chris and Rachel will be here today, so you'll have time in between services to chat with them. Chris is preaching in the morning worship service, and they'll be here for the fellowship time after the service. We hope that you can take the opportunity to get to know them, or ask them questions, just pick their brain a little bit on how they're processing all of this. This month is kind of for that, so we're going to have them around as much as possible for a couple of other opportunities. They're going on vacation sometime in July, right?
Yeah, the end of this month.
Yeah, use this time. If you have questions, if it doesn't come to your mind right now, you can send him an email. Chris's contact information is in that profile that we made available at the Welcome Center. Ask elders questions, but most of all, as we've been asking you for many months now, please pray. Pray that we will have confidence in God's leading for our congregation as we move forward. Let's close now with prayer, and then we're going to take questions. Thank you for that. Thank you for raising your hand. We're not going to open it up to the floor right now. We're going to have questions. They're scheduled to be back for us, with us. Did I tell you that? The 31st? Okay. I can't remember what I've told you and what I haven't told you, or what I've asked you and haven't asked you. So we'll do it at that point and have time for Q&A for everybody. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your faithfulness to us, your love for us. God, thank you for Chris and for Rachel and for how you are leading them. We pray that you give them a clear leading, and we thank you for their desire for ministry, for how they are having an impact on young people, even at their church right now at Cornerstone. Lord, we pray that you bless our worship service, that you would be honored, that we would just be able to sit back in awe of who you are and what you've done for us through your son, Jesus. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.